Google just made the road to Q Day about 20 times shorter. On March 30th, they published a paper showing that the elliptic curve cryptography behind crypto, websites, and a huge part of online trust may need far fewer quantum resources to break than previously thought. Welcome back, nerds. I'm Addie Lamar. I've spent 15 years in cybersecurity. I help companies transition to post-quantum cryptography, and I break down cyber threats before they blindside you. Today, I'm going to show you what Google actually announced, why it matters for crypto and businesses, and why waiting for some dramatic Q Day headline is the wrong way to think about this. Google even verified the result with a zero-knowledge proof instead of releasing the attack instructions, which tells you that this was serious enough to validate with responsible disclosure and dangerous enough to not publish like a normal research paper. People are reacting to this announcement the wrong way. The loudest reactions to Google's quantum announcement are the least useful ones. One side heard quantum and instantly jumped to a cryptopocalypse, as if your bank account, wallet, and the entire internet will melt tomorrow. The other side shrugged and said there still aren't enough stable qubits, so none of this even matters yet. And I think both reactions miss the point entirely. And that matters because bad framing creates bad timing. Most people think Q Day was a date circled on a calendar. But it's not. It's definitely not. Instead, it's a threshold. It's the point where breaking the real cryptography becomes practical enough to change behavior. And that's a very different thing from some cinematic moment where everyone gets an alert on their phone and the world simply announces that trust online has officially expired. That fantasy has messed up people for years. They keep asking how many stable qubits exist right now. Like that's the whole story, when it definitely isn't. The more important question is whether the path to breaking real-world cryptography just got shorter. And it did. That's what changed. And that's why waiting for certainty of Q Day is such a bad strategy. If the first real quantum advantage shows up quietly and people only understand it in hindsight, the damage lands before the headline ever does. And that's the thing a lot of people still refuse to sit with. I have so much more to say on this topic that I'll dedicate a whole video on it in the coming weeks. Because once you understand what kind of cryptography quantum actually threatens, this Google announcement gets a lot more serious. What Google actually changed, and why this is a real timeline shift. The scary part of this story is what Google made easier. Nobody rolled out a 500,000 qubit fault-tolerant machine and started cracking wallets all willy-nilly. What they did was instead show that elliptic curve cryptography, which is the math sitting under a huge amount of modern trust, likely needs far fewer resources to break than previous estimates said. We've known since 1994, thanks to Shor's algorithm, that a powerful enough quantum computer could wreck RSA and elliptic curve systems. For years, that threat felt comfortably far away because the estimates were obscene. In 2019, breaking RSA 2048 was estimated at around 20 million qubits. In May 2025, Craig Gidney pushed that down to under 1 million physical qubits for RSA 2048. In February 2026, Iceberg Quantum suggested fewer than 100,000 physical qubits might do it under a different architecture. Then in late March 2026, Google's team estimated that 256-bit elliptic curve cryptography could be broken with fewer than 500,000 physical qubits. That last one matters a whole lot because ECC is everywhere. It protects cryptocurrencies, websites, VPNs, secure messaging, enterprise systems, and a massive chunk of the public key trust layer people depend on without ever thinking about it. Google focused on ECDLP 256, the elliptic curve discrete logarithmic problem. That's the math behind systems used by Bitcoin, Ethereum, and a lot of web and enterprise infrastructure. Their team presented two circuit designs, one around 1,200 logical qubits and 90 million Toffoli gates. The other around 1,450 logical qubits and 70 million Toffoli gates. Their estimate says this could run on fewer than 500,000 physical qubits in minutes. That's about a 20x reduction over prior ECC estimates. That means the engineering distance is shrinking exponentially faster than a lot of people even planned for. And honestly, that is the most important takeaway I want you to get from this entire video. The breakthrough is that the path got significantly shorter. And that matters even more in crypto because elliptic curve systems are tied to assets people can actually lose. What this means for crypto wallets, transactions, happens and why people are misunderstanding the attack model, the public keeps imagining how this might happen with the wrong outlook. They picture some quantum villain waking up one morning and draining every wallet on Earth in one giant transaction. That's not how real attackers work, and it's not even the most interesting risk here. The attack model is more specific, targeted, and honestly dangerous because of that. ECC sits at the core of Bitcoin, Ethereum, and a lot of other chains. Google's work suggests that once the attack is primed, the final computation against a specific exposed public key could be finished in roughly 9 minutes. Bitcoin blocks, as many of you know, arrive about every 10 minutes. That creates a nasty little race where you broadcast a transaction, your public key gets exposed, and an attacker tries to derive the private key and spend the funds before your transaction even finalizes. Google's paper estimated about a 41% chance of success for that idealized Bitcoin race. And the bigger issue is exposed public keys, making the danger that many blockchain systems expose public keys by design, especially once an address is spent from or reused. About 6.9 billion Bitcoin, more than 30% of all Bitcoin, sit in addresses with exposed public keys. That includes large dormant holdings. Once a real quantum-capable attacker exists, those addresses become low-hanging fruit. And that means some attacks would likely focus on exposed key addresses, high-value wallets, on-spin races, and abandoned tokens that can't be migrated. Real attackers try to maximize value, stealth, and repeatability. And this is where people in crypto need to grow up a little and stop calling everything FUD. Faster chains may be less exposed to the exact Bitcoin-style 9-minute race, because their block times are shorter, but that doesn't make them magically safe. It does, however, change the attack surface. At rest, exposed public key theft still matters, and so does quantum key recovery and migration. What I appreciate here is that serious crypto figures did not brush this off like unserious people online did. Justin Drake called it a major moment. Haseeb Qureshi said blockchains need quantum transition plans. Nick Carter called it sobering. Eli Ben Sasson pushed for faster Bitcoin quantum-resistant upgrades. And CZ told people not to panic, but to take it seriously. That's the right energy I want to see. Most people incorrectly assume that every wallet dies in one burst of fire. But the actual danger is that cryptographic trust turns into a timing problem, where crypto systems are unusually exposed to that shift. And if crypto people should care now, business leaders should care even more, because crypto is just the flashy edge of a much bigger infrastructure problem. What this means for business leaders. This is an organizational transition. Unfortunately, many leaders keep underestimating it because they think post-quantum migration is like solving one JIRA ticket, when it's not even close to the kind of thing you throw at your security team and expect to be done by next quarter. The reality check I need you to understand is that this is a multi-year organizational transition. Think back to just the Windows upgrades. How long have those taken? I know there are legacy systems you're still using Windows 98 because things will break, right? So the systems at risk include TLS certificates, VPNs, secure email, code signing, authentication tokens, enterprise PKI, secure messaging, and government systems built on ECDH and ECDSA. Symmetric crypto like AES is in much better shape and can be strengthened with bigger keys. The real problem is the public key layer or the trust layer, and that one's everywhere. That's why governments and big institutions are already moving. The US passed the Quantum Computing Cybersecurity Preparedness Act in 2022. NSA's CNSA 2.0 requires new national security systems to be quantum resistant by January 2027, with legacy systems upgraded or mitigated by 2035. NIST finalized early PQC standards in 2024, including MLKEM and new signature schemes, and put depreciation pressure on vulnerable algorithms by 2030, with effective phase out by 2035. Google moved its own migration target to 2029. Europe is pushing high-risk sectors towards 2030 and broader adoption by 2035. However, 2026 is the year you must have your plan. That stack of dates tells you everything you need to know. You need to be proactive if you want your company to survive this transition. If you lead a company, your first move's to run a cryptographic inventory so you can figure out where RSA and ECC are actually buried. You need to prioritize the long-lived sensitive data, then demand crypto agility in procurement, pilot PQC in test environments, and expect hybrid deployments first. Bring in specialists, because this is not a simple swap where you just rip out out one algorithm and drop in another without breaking everything around it. The companies that struggle most are going to be the ones that treat this like a future engineer problem instead of a present leadership issue. And one of the worst excuses I hate to hear is, well, if adversaries already harvested the data, what's the point now? So let's kill that before it does any more damage, okay? Q-Day will be obvious. And if data is already harvested, it's already over. The most dangerous thing about quantum right now is all the bad mental models. Myth one is that Q-Day will arrive like a giant breaking news event. And that's a complete fantasy. If you were a nation state who had the ability to decrypt your rival's secrets, would you announce that information? Of course not. You would exploit the advantage quietly and asymmetrically as long as you could. And that's exactly how the British helped win World War II after cracking the German Enigma. The value of code breaking is highest when the other side still trusts the code. A silent quantum advantage could look like a diplomatic interception, unexplained wallet thefts, leaks that make no sense, infrastructure incidents that seem unrelated until somebody connects the dots much later. The absence of a headline does not mean the absence of risk. And I want to say this again because it is so important. The absence of a headline does not mean the absence of risk. Myth two is that if data is already being harvested through Harvest Now, Decrypt Later, then nothing can still be saved. That logic is doomer poison. Yes, Harvest Now, Decrypt Later is a real threat. And yes, some old encrypted data may already be sitting in someone's archive, but that still doesn't mean future systems are doomed. All data is equally exposed or migration is a pointless endeavor. It means the difference between upgrading and not upgrading is still enormous. And while we're here, not all encryption dies. Symmetric crypto and hashes mostly survive with parameter changes. Post-quantum cryptography is the practical path, so waiting for dramatic public confirmation is still the wrong move. That's why I keep coming back to the same thing. Waiting for certainty is how you hand someone else the advantage and you lose your business. So if panic is useless and denial is even worse, what should normal people and organizations actually do now? How to fix this? The part people hate hearing is also the part that gives you control. This is serious and it is also manageable. If you're an individual, learn the basics of crypto hygiene. Don't reuse addresses. Pay attention to which projects are actually discussing quantum migration like adults and not dismissing it as simple FUD. Understand that public key exposure really matters. And remember that long-term privacy still matters even if some old data might be already harvested. If you're in blockchain, start acting like this is a real engineering roadmap. Work on post-quantum signature schemes. Stop normalizing address reuse. And explore upgrade paths like BIP360 and pay-to-Merkle root approaches. Think hard about abandoned or unmovable tokens, because those are future targets if nobody handles them. If you run a company, do the boring grown-up work now. Inventory your cryptography, classify systems by sensitivity and data shelf life, and pilot post-quantum algorithms. Then use hybrid approaches during your transition. Update crypto libraries, HSMs, certificates, and PKI. Require crypto agility in future procurement. And track standards and ecosystem changes very closely. This is the last thing I want to leave you with. You do not need to believe that the world is ending tomorrow to understand that waiting for certainty is the wrong strategy with PQC. Most people believe the people who will win this transition are the ones who guess the exact dates of Q-Day. But that's not it. They're going to be the ones who stopped waiting for a headline and started taking action on the transition immediately. With this research, Google proved that the timeline is shortening, and that alone should change how we prepare. And now that the timeline is shorter, the uncomfortable question is whether the people responsible for trust online are finally going to move fast enough. If you like this video about Q-Day, you'll love this one about becoming unfireable in tech. I'll see you in that video next.